So it's Psalm 90. So we have had a big focus on Psalm 91, a lot of focus.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how does the book start? And from that, the Lord pointed Psalm 90 as that is the fourth book sort of in the whole chapters of Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. So this is Psalm 90.
Wait.
If you want to follow it in your Bibles, if you want to open your Bible, I don't know what page you will be on, but otherwise you can listen from Bhavna's reading in Hindi. So Psalm 90.
Bhavna?
Hey Swami, tu anadi kal se hamara ghar suraksha sthal raha hai. Hey Parmeshwar, tu parvaton se pehle, dharti se pehle tha. इस जगत के पहले ही परमेश्वर था तू सर्वदा ही परमेश्वर रहेगा तू ही इस जगत में लोगों को लाता है फिर से तू ही उनको धूल में बदल देता है तेरे लिए हजार वर्ष बीते हुए कल जैसे हैं और पिछली रात जैसे हैं तू हमारा जीवन सपने जैसा बुहार देता है और सुबह होते ही हम चले जाते हैं हम ऐसे घास जैसे हैं जो सुबह उगती है और वह शाम को सूख कर मुरझा जाती है हे परमेश्वर जब तू कुपित होता है हम नष्ट हो जाते हैं हम तेरे प्रकोप से घबरा गए हैं तू हमारे सब पापों को जानता है हे परमेश्वर तू हमारे हर छिपे पाप को देखा करता है तेरा क्रोध हमारे जीवन को खत्म कर सकता है हमारे प्राण फुसफुसाहट की तरह विलीन हो जाते हैं हम 70 साल तक जीवित रह सकते हैं यदि हम शक्तिशाली हैं तो 80 साल हमारा जीवन परिश्रम और पीड़ा से भरा है अचानक हमारा जीवन समाप्त हो जाता है हम उड़कर कहीं दूर चले जाते हैं हे परमेश्वर सचमुच कोई भी व्यक्ति तेरे क्रोध की पूरी शक्ति नहीं जानता किंतु हे परमेश्वर हमारा भय और सम्मान तेरे लिए उतना ही महान है जितना क्रोध तू हमको सिखा दे कि हम सचमुच ये जाने कि हमारा जीवन कितना छोटा है ताकि हम बुद्धिमान बन सके हे यहोवा तू सदा हमारे पास लौट आ अपने सेवकों पर दया कर प्रतिदिन सुबह हमें अपने प्रेम से परिपूर्ण कर आओ हम प्रसन्न हो और अपने जीवन का रस लें तूने हमारे जीवनों में हमें बहुत पीड़ा और यातना दी है अब हमें प्रसन्न कर दे तेरे दासों को उन अद्भुत बातों को देखने दे जिनको तू उनके लिए कर सकता है और अपनी संतानों को अपनी महिमा दिखा हमारे परमेश्वर हमारे स्वामी हम पर कृपालु हो जो कुछ हम करते हैं तू उसमें सफलता दे
Amen. Amen. Tatastu.
Tatastu.
Okay, so here is this psalm. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And you know, we are all living in these times, many times of uncertainty. So what do we need? We need a steadfast or a secure, a strong refuge. And here the first thing the psalmist or the Moses is pointing out how the Lord, this Lord of the people of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the one who had delivered them from the mighty stronghold and power of Pharaoh, from the slavery, and brought them through Red Sea and post the 40 years in wilderness, the one who had said he will triumph over all the mighty giants that were coming into the promised land, Canaan, and that they will he will settle them there, that he was giving them a new home, he was taking them to a promised land. He is proclaiming this Lord as their dwelling place. He's their true home, a secure dwelling place, a home. And that you can see it's in all generations. Some of the other translations say it's from ages to ages or in all generations. So it's timeless from beginning to end. This Lord can be your home. And we have been talking about how can we tell our friends. We can tell our friends how God wants to be our home, this strong, secure person, our dwelling place. You know, we all live in homes. Sometimes they succumb to flood or earthquake, or sometimes because of things that might have not been repaired well, they can crumble. But this is showing a different type of home. Is showing that the Lord is a secure and strong person, and in Him the dwelling is secure. We are secure. And he's saying how he's from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. And this is the unchangeableness of God. You know, we see later how a lot of things in man's world and man is transient, is temporariness. Whereas this one, the Lord is eternally same. And that's also like a promise to us, you know, that our God is same, as the New Testament says, that Jesus is same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can know that this Lord is, there is none like Him and none besides Him. Another thing we see in this dwelling place, we see that he's more than His creation. You know, before the mountains were brought forth, or even before the world and all the universes, the cosmos, the world was formed, the earth and the world, He was there. So He's showing this God, this Lord, who is limitless. He's beyond comparison. He's one who's every being of Him will last forever. For example, we talk of His love. His steadfast love is what? It never ceases. It never comes to end. It's new every morning. If you talk about His wisdom is plentiful. He doesn't, you know, like scratch His head and say, oh, what shall I do in Corona now? Oh, the equipment is run out. Let me start factories or something. No, His wisdom is limitless. His power is limitless. His knowledge is limitless, and He's filled with all kinds of goodness, because He's altogether good and lovely. So anyway, these are the first few verses that He's calling us to understand in our times, that this Lord is a secure home. He's a great dwelling place. And we know from our scriptures that this Lord, He's a creator. He's a maker. He's made everything by the word of His power. Moses' first words in Genesis are, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And the Spirit was hovering over it. And He said, let there be light. And there was light. So He's creator. Then He's sustainer. He holds everything by the word of His power. He holds everything together. In Colossians, we have this, that in Christ Himself, Jesus is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. So you can see, you know, while the world is unraveling,
He's not.
The Maker in heaven, the Father, Son, and Spirit, nothing is like, if you can say, gone, the seam has gone off, the piece of garment, as the string has come out and the whole garment is torn. No, He's holding all things together. That's the one who is calling us, am I your home? Am I your dwelling place? And finally, we sing of this. He's creator, He's sustainer, and He's a savior. The Lord Himself, He says, I will save my people, or the name is given Jesus. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And Acts 4:12 says, there's salvation in no one else, and no other name is given among man under the heaven by which we must be saved. So here we have this majestic Lord, set before us, the incomparable one, the one who is altogether excellent, lovely, and who excels beyond man in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, the child's song, the children's song, aptly puts it, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing my God cannot do. So you can see that's the God who is calling us, along with this prayer of Moses. Moses is marshaling his people. Come, make this Lord, the Lord Yahweh, as your home. Then he presses on. God alone can give us the right view of ourselves. You know, if we want to understand man, we can't find it within ourselves. We have to, again, go to scripture. We have to see what God says of man. And that's the verses 3 to almost 10. I won't read all of them for time's sake. But here we are told how man, you know, is a transient being. He's a temporary. His life is but, even there in verse 10, is, you know, for strength, he might have 80. Or you might have even 90 or 100. But you know, all the years, it says your span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. So you can see he's bringing this stark contrast from God as the eternal being to man who is so transient and temporary. And then he shows how man is swept away like a flood. Verse 5, and that his life is like a dream or like grass that comes in the morning, it flourishes, it's renewed, and then in the evening it fades and withers. So he's comparing man to just like a day. And that's what man is. But yet man is made in the image of God, you know, Genesis 1 and 2. He's crowned with glory. He's endowed with kingship. He says of man, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue everything with people and with his world in worshiping God as his maker. So everything was good. Everything that God had made was very good indeed. Yet man is this temporariness, but yet if you look at further in verse 7 on, 7 and 8, it says, we are brought forth to an end by your anger, by your wrath. We are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. So yet man's world is further, we further feel an isolation. We have been having this social distancing and self-isolating. But there is another isolation here. The iniquities before us, our secret sins, have separated us from God. The word iniquity is a word there. It says it's a rebellion to God's commands and ways. It's a broken fellowship. It's a going against one who is ultimate good towards us. So that's the further thing, you know. We have to deal with in our life is our own sin, our own iniquities, separation and isolation from God, man that has turned away, and obviously, we all face, it says, because of or all our days pass away under your wrath, we bring our years to an end in sigh. At the end of the day, the ultimate is how we stand before God, now and in eternity. So obviously, yeah, we have a present time, what do you call it, with this whole crisis of health and things going on, but some may be ready to hear God's view of man, how God sees man. Yes, ultimately made good in a good world, but also how man's world is broken because of iniquity, sin, transgression, and facing God's anger and wrath. And in the meantime, facing even chronic illness and death. And we can address that with people as God allows us and as God leads us. Because I think there is always a time when people will be hearing. I don't know the saying of C.S. Lewis, God whispers in our quiet times, but in our troubles, he shouts. So in all this affliction that man is facing of all kinds, one thing is definite. God is shouting and saying, man, turn towards your maker. Know God and know his peace. Make your peace with God. You see, just think about this. In 2 to 5 years' time, I bet you, coronavirus might be history. This pandemic might have been brought under control by when they find this vaccine. And men will have totally forgotten that they were ever in a quarantine zone. And they will start boasting of their achievement. They'll start boasting of all the goodness that they did in this time. They helped the old lady down the road and all that kind of thing. And above all, they'll have not addressed the issue, the spiritual issue before their maker. And obviously science will say, we have triumphed. We have again conquered. And this is another, as it will say, a small step of man or giant leap for mankind. We have triumphed. We are unstoppable. So we can see, man's not willing to face his own temporariness or brevity of life and all that he faces. He's willing to just end his life, maybe with a tombstone saying, I came, I saw, and I went. And or receive a small memorial urn at his ashes, in a memorial urn. And that would be all that man is after 70, 80, even 100 years. So here we have first God, who is the ultimate secure person, our dwelling place. Then it's how God sees man and his world. But here, ultimately, God wants to change us. God is not a God without hope. And that's where finally we go, and it's verses 11 to 17. Even there, he's somehow God's spirit is reaching in the depths of man in whatever condition they are, and he's causing them to think. So here he says, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear that is due you, the worship that is due you? Who considers? Does anybody consider? Am I considering? And from there he says, so teach us, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply or gain a heart of wisdom, a godly wisdom, a wisdom of the Lord, a wisdom of fellowship with God. So again, there is an awakening happening, a humbling of man as he considers his plight, and the Spirit of God meets him and says, this is how, or something could be different. And we have just been asking, our loved ones or our family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, they are in the same plight as us. We are facing the same things. Obviously not in the same measure probably, but we are all facing the same things. Shortage, or going to more shops, or being, you know, in homes or even jobs that have suddenly come to a standstill. You know, we're all facing ultimately death and other things. And pain or loss of loved ones or even disease and all this kind of thing. And obviously we are all facing fear of unknown, fear of being uncertain, fear of not being secure, fear of ultimately death even, or worry. Two things are occupying all of us, fear and worry, anxiety. Will there be job? 6 months on work will be different and all that kind of thing. And it's in times like that, even we could be asking people, what are you going through? Or tell me, I would like to hear. One way we can engage people of any background, any religious background, any even background, whether economical or social standing or anything, we can ask a question. How's it going with you? Tell me, how are you facing this uncertain time or this crisis? Or is any of your family unsafe or things? Or how are you handling this crisis? And even once you ask, obviously, when we ask a question, we have to have our 2 ears engaged and listen well. And maybe even ask a few clarification questions and then be able to summarize. So asking and hearing well is a great spiritual exercise for us to engage our family and loved ones. So even like what our sister Rashmi said, her mother, yeah, definitely. She asked the question, how are you doing, Mom? And then she was willing to listen and empathize, sympathize, and then probably pray or tell or share some story. So here is even our story. How God is our refuge, our shelter, our home. How God is a carer of man beyond their troubles and beyond their transgression or sin. So here we have this as a final thing, as we think that God who changes us, there is resurrection hope. You see, he starts with man. He's saying his days are temporary. And then he says, you return to dust. So ash, you know, a whole heap of ashes is only his lot. But that can those ashes be changed into something remarkable that adores God endlessly in worship? And I think there is. These ashes are going to be turned into a remarkable person, fully clothed with the beauty of God. He uses that word, let the favor, or let the, in verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And I just wanted to turn there here on from ashes to beauty is Isaiah 51, 52, sorry. Isaiah 52 is a song of the servant. It ends with this. Isaiah 52 is the coming of the servant. So he says, 52:13, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Now, if you had followed our series in Philippians, who is the one who is high and lifted up? Who is the one who is exalted? That every name acknowledge him, proclaim him as Lord, and every knee shall bow. As many as were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so that you shall sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. That which they have not heard, they understand. And then he goes on to the to explain the work of the servant king, the servant. But here the mod is a resemblance, is a disfiguring, is a turning of something beautiful into something ashy. You know, it just becomes like dust. And here the servant king was turned to, and his appearance was marred. But the servant king was raised to life, eternal life. The resurrection happened 3 days later. And he was crowned with glory and majesty. He became again the living being, the living savior. So just another verse here. So in Isaiah 61, 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And then he says how he will change the bind those who are bound and brokenhearted. He will proclaim liberty. He will open the prison doors of those who are bound. And he will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So here is verse 3. "He will grant those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes." So you can see here the transformation, the change, resurrection of Jesus is going to bring about the change of his people, Zion, to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of fainting spirit, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, for they are planted by the Lord that he may be glorified. So here we have in this psalm and a song and a prayer of Moses, the wonderful change that God wants to work. And we have the fourfold wonderful change that we always talk about in our communication, is the God word in our spirit, my spirit being made right with the Spirit of God. Then inside in my psyche, I'm a bit more home. There's peace, shalom enters. Then with each other, there is no longer a male, female, Jew, Gentile, a barbarian, Scythian. Male, female. There's no longer an untouchable and Brahmin. We are united in Christ. So there is restored humanity in relationships. There is no longer a physical isolation and a distancing because of outwardliness. And there is a great community of people under Jesus. So the church is ultimate reflection of the new humanity that God is making. And we are not simply consumed by our own desires or our own cravings. You know, the station WAIFM, the What's in It for Me. We are not only consumed by our own self-interest, but by radical self-giving. By sacrificial lives, we bring life to others, and in that way, even we are renewed within ourselves. So there is the inhuman ways that have governed us from birth are reversed, and a true humanity, a new humanity descends, which is made after Christ as Lord and Savior. So there is the grand hope that we can share with our friends as we go along, because we are the hopeful people. In the midst of all this, we must be the most peaceful people. We must be the most humble people. And we must be the most hopeful people as we seek to relate of this Christ. Because at the end of the day, if we are just going to make a difference outwardly, then it's going to end in a few weeks or months or years. But the lasting difference that we can make is the gospel, the good news of Christ, the good news of hope, and that this resurrection of Jesus that has changed us from ashes to beauty of the Lord that adorns us. So finally, I'll close with this. This sort of is again taken from some passage that we might be familiar. Philippians reminds us that our citizenship, 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, meaning a wonderful change of our lowly body of this present earthly life, to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So friends, that is the kingdom hope and kingdom, beautiful kingdom purposes that we are being called on. So in being changed from ashes to a beauty of the Lord, he's bringing us to himself and to his kingdom purposes. He's saying, join me now in bringing this runaway planet back to me. And with that, you will have great joy beyond comparison, because I am your ultimate home and your ultimate joy. So as believers, we can rejoice in this great hope that God is transforming, God is changing. And we can also proclaim it. We can herald it. We can herald this good news far and wide. Thank you. May the blessing of the Lord be with you. I guess Bob will close with prayer and announcing a blessing on Zoom. Thank you. Any questions? Maybe, I don't know if you want to continue with this discussion, but I end there. So Father, we just thank you for this time in your word, your eternal word, unchanging word, and your eternal being and unchanging being, Father, Son, and Spirit, that directs our lives and grips us in such wonderful ways that first we are thrilled with you, we become worshippers of you, and also we become lively witnesses of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.